Hey, today we're going to be looking at a message that really is a continuation of the last several weeks. The last couple of weeks I've been preaching about a misunderstood king and a misunderstood kingdom. And if you're here today, I am going to just assume that you believe that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, was on that after he was dead, was in the grave for 3 days. On the third day, he arose. We also believe that at some point, either we're going to die and go be with the Lord, or the Lord is going to return and we're going to be caught up with him gloriously in the air. I want to ask you something. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Well, listen, if we believe that, the theology in what I said is sound. But here's one thing that's overlooked. What about from the time we believe to the time we go to be with him? You see, there's a long gap in there. I had the privilege of being saved when I was 10 years old. I've been saved 43 years. What about the 43 years? What are we supposed to be doing in the meantime? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm giving you credit today. I'm giving you all the credit in the world. I'm assuming that if you would come to church on a resurrection Sunday, you're here because you believe. You're here because you know you are a sinner. And you know that one day you're going to stand in the presence of a holy God. And when you stand before him, something's got to happen. Now, for most of us in here, we believe that Jesus' blood covers our sin. We believe that we're unrighteous. We believe we're unworthy. But we believe he is so righteous, he's got enough righteousness to give to people like me. And what we need to understand is, if we believe these things, then how does this play out? Now, if you'll look on the screen, I'm going to give you a quick review of the last couple of Sundays. I'm going to start with John chapter 18, and I'm going to read verses 36 and 37, and we're going to just keep going. Jesus is talking to Pilate, and this is what he said. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews." But now, that's right now, he said, "My kingdom is not from here." And Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." And that word witness means to be a martyr. In other words, I'm going to die for this truth. And then he said, Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now, I want to give you something that's quite amazing. If you look at the verses that are found in Luke chapter 23, Jesus is having a discussion with another dying man. There are two dying men having this conversation. And one of them is we recognize as a thief on the cross. And he professed his faith to Jesus when he basically said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, this is what we have to understand. This man who's dying, he's going through a terrible, agonizing death, is talking to another man that is going through a terrible, agonizing death. And for most of us, we see death not as a comma, but as a period. End of story. Close the book. Next chapter. But this man had a revelation. And the revelation that he had was, even though Jesus was at that moment dying, that somehow he was going to have a kingdom. And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." Now, let me tell you something. When you come to that place, when you came up upon an individual that was about to breathe their last breath, their life was just about over. Most of the time, what we do with that individual is we make the relationship right. You know what I'm saying? If we have anything that we need to say to them or anything we want them to know, we need to make it right because that individual is about to pass. But this time, this guy comes up to an individual that's just about to pass, and instead of saying, "Oh, I'm sorry," and "Oh, I love you," and "Oh, all these things," this guy said, "Hey, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now listen, that takes faith. I mean, that takes a lot of faith. Because this guy understood Jesus had come to establish a kingdom. He knew that it was a spiritual kingdom. He knew the kingdom wasn't of this world, and he professed that faith in Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you some verses. These are just to help us review so we can understand the kingdom of God. The first one is, obviously, Christ came to establish a spiritual kingdom. Luke 17, 20 and 21. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, the very thing we're talking about, He answered and said to them, therefore the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Now, when you look at that, the answer to this question is on the screen. So it's going to make it real easy because I want you to get it, but I just want you to verbalize these words. Where is the kingdom of God? The answer is right at the bottom. All right, there's only 8 people in here that know it. Now, I really want you to say it. Where is the kingdom of God?
Within.
All right, the kingdom of God is within us. Now listen, I want to give you some things that the Bible says are not in the kingdom of God. All right, the first one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 and 51. This is what the word of the Lord said. It said, now I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, what you need, when you look at that verse, you need to understand that this is not going. Right? This is not going. Anything that's been corrupted by sin is not going. As a matter of fact, on there's videos, and man, they're really powerful, but you know, there'll be a church service, and boom, the rapture happens, and all of a sudden there's like 6 people left, but all the other chairs are empty, and then those 6 people get down on their knees and start praying. Well, if the rapture happened, somebody probably would get down on their knees and start praying. But listen, there will be dead bodies in this room. Flesh and blood is not going in the kingdom of God. Nothing that's been tainted by sin is going into the presence of a holy God. All right? Now, let's look at the next one. What's going to happen to this fleshly body? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up. Now, if you look at that verse, the word makes it abundantly clear. When you look around, this building, this pulpit, this concrete, everything is going to be destroyed by fire. Anything that's been tainted by sin is going to be burned up. All right? Now, this is what's important to realize. That's why in Revelation chapter 21, Jesus said through his word, well, I'll just read it. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had all passed away, and there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. All right, now, here's my question. Will anything that has been defiled by sin be in the kingdom of God? Only 9 people. Right? We're supposed to be making progress. Will anything that's been defiled by sin be in the kingdom of God? No. No, it will not. And one day, it's going to all be made new. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day. I'm not trying to speed it up, but I look forward to that day. The day when everything that has been tainted by sin will be done away with. Listen, that means that there will be no more sickness. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more separation. There will be no more pain. From then on, we will be in the joy of the Lord. I look forward to that day. But what I want to talk about this morning is, what about the meantime? What about right now? And Jesus taught a parable about the kingdom of God. And when he taught this parable, it was a parable about 4 different types of soil. But I want you to look on the screen at verse 19. This is Matthew 13, and it's verse 19. And this is what we're going to spend the rest of the time today talking about. Jesus said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. All right, now, let's look at this verse. The first thing Jesus says here is, he said, when anyone hears. Now, if you know what this word means, he's talking about a person, they know somebody's mouth is moving, but they don't understand it. As a matter of fact, have you ever been somewhere where people were speaking a foreign language to you? Right? You know their mouth's moving. They keep jabbering. Somebody keeps moving. You're assuming they're communicating. But because you don't speak that language, you have no earthly idea what they're talking about. Can I get a witness? Right? Well, have you ever been in church? Everybody's going, amen. Everybody's saying, me too, brother. And you're sitting there going, I don't have a clue what they're talking about. Yeah, it happens. I'm going to give you another example. Some of y'all are the most complimentary people. I couldn't tell you how many people have commented on how much my shirt looks like Easter. I have no earthly idea what color my shirt is. People tell me what color it is. I don't believe it. Right? Those of us who have issues with colors, I'll give you another one. Brown. I have never seen anything brown in my entire life. Ever. I still remember the shock and horror when UPS changed their slogan to "What can brown do for you?" And I looked at my wife and said, "Brown? That truck's green." She's like, "What? What? Do you know you can sit in church and be going, brown? I thought that thing was green." Because see, that's what happens. Because look at the next word he said. He said, whoever hears the word of the kingdom. Now listen, this is what we have to understand. You've got to hear the word of the kingdom before you can receive the kingdom. And if you try to receive the kingdom without the word, you're going to always be confused. And he says, whoever does not understand. I love this word, understand, because the word understand basically describes putting the pieces of a puzzle together. In other words, when you hear the word of the kingdom and you understand the word of the kingdom, you can take these concepts, and some of them might be in the Old Testament, but because you're a part of the kingdom and you've received a word from the kingdom, you can take these things and you can put them together, and you can have an oh yeah moment all by yourself just reading your Bible. You can just have an oh yeah moment. Now, I'm going to give you a couple that I've had. A couple of oh yeah moments. The first one is anybody in here familiar with Galatians chapter 6, verse 4? The verse says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Now, folks, you know what that means? If you put the pieces of the puzzle together, what that's saying is, you know why you keep having that mess in your life? You know why I had messes in my life? It's because I did things that caused those messes, right? How many of us have ever looked up to heaven and said, Lord, why is this growing in my garden? You know why it's growing in our garden? Because we keep planting that same seed. Listen, I don't know who it was that said, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you know what you're going to keep getting? You're going to keep getting what you've been getting. And listen, how many times in a spiritual sense, and I'm sure people did this to me, but how many times in a spiritual sense do we look at somebody and just want to say, for the love of Jesus, if you would stop doing that, you would stop getting that. And we could save you a lot of grief and a lot of heartache. But when you don't hear and you don't understand the word of the kingdom, you'll think, man, if I just do it a little harder, it'll get better. And all it means is you're going to just get more. And listen, this is one as a dad. These words have always caused me to stop and think about the words that I say, the places that I go, and the things that I do. Do you know in the Bible we are promised that the iniquities of the fathers will be visited on the children to the third and fourth generation? And do you know there are people who attend church every Sunday and every Wednesday that never figure out that little bitty sin that nobody at the church knows about but me and God, and we say it ain't going to hurt nobody and it ain't going to hurt nothing until them children get a hold of it? How many times have we seen it goes, he was just like his daddy and he's just like his daddy? How many times? And you know what that is? That's just the curse being pointed out in somebody's life. And listen, there are plenty of people who are blood-bought children of the King, but they never realize the Bible promises, guarantees, says, stake your life on this. The iniquities of the fathers will be visited on the children. And listen, I'll just say this. I know that this shoe doesn't fit on everybody's foot, but if it fits, then just wear it with grace. But listen, if you don't love God enough to stop, would you please love your children enough? How can I get a witness? Listen, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But if you don't love the Lord, at least for the sake of your children, acknowledge that God's word is true. And if you don't believe it, just look around. Because all you have to do is look at your own life and look at the life of your children. What do you see? Love the Lord your God. I want to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to read the first two verses. It's a really good chapter in the Bible. It's got 68, I think, verses. And the first 15 verses start out like this. Now it shall come to pass that if you diligently obey the Lord, the voice of the Lord your God, and to observe carefully all the commandments which I have commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of the Lord. Listen, when we obey diligently the voice of the Lord, that word is overtaken is used for land that's flooded. And what happens is the land don't move. The water comes to it. And when we get ourselves anchored diligently to the voice of the Lord, and it's our goal, it's our purpose, is to live faithfully according to that word, the blessing is going to find you. I mean, you are just a magnet for God's blessing. Those blessings are just going to come to you. And those blessings are going to be so great in your life. You know what your children are going to receive? Blessings. You know where they're going to get it? They're going to get it from your obedience. Listen, if we're going to stand here and say we believe that Jesus died on the cross and we believe that Jesus rose from the dead and we believe that we're part of the kingdom of God, then shouldn't we at least live in obedience to His word? Shouldn't we at least be able to say to somebody, you know, I don't know how to tell you this, but I used to live that way. And I'm going to read to you from verse 15. Because verse 15 is the other side of this, Deuteronomy 28. He said, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to carefully observe all His commandments and His statutes which I have commanded you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You know what? Person still didn't move. Person still hadn't gone anywhere. And what the Lord promises us is every single person is going to either be blessed or be cursed. Now, I'm going to ask you the easiest question of the day. What do you want? What do you want to be? That's it. You can answer. Blessed. And if somebody wants to be cursed, just save it. We want to be blessed, right? We want to be blessed, right? We want God's very best in our lives because we're part of His kingdom, right? Amen. Well, it's determined by our obedience. It's determined by our ability to hear, our willingness to comprehend, our willingness to act. Because you see in that parable, he goes on and he talks about the different types of soil. The first one he talks about is by the wayside, and they would plant their fields and they would just have a path down the middle between their fields that they walked on, and the ground would be as hard as this concrete right there. And if any of those seeds fell on that path, birds would be like, whoo, that's breakfast right there. Because if you notice in that verse, the devil wants to come and he wants to snatch that word out of your heart. Because that word is a seed, and if that word takes root and that word grows, then man, you're going to be changed from the inside out. And he said that first way is it's the path, man, and seed don't have a chance. And then the next one is the soil that's covered by the rock. There's a little bit of dirt there, but then there's a rock right underneath. And that seed can't get a root out. And the Bible, when the Lord explained it, he said when persecutions come because of the word, man, they're like, pfft. Ain't doing that. And if you were here when we were talking about Pilate last week, Pilate knew. But man, when it was going to cost him his place, it was going to cost him his position, it was going to cost him his power. And he was probably thinking about all the people he had stabbed in the back to get where he got. And he's like, man, cat, go ahead. But then the third one, and this one is one of my favorites, It says it falls beyond in the thorns. Let me ask you, anybody in here a gardener besides me? Huh? Yeah, there's about eight of us. Man, we're going to be in trouble if times get hard and we have to go back to raising our own food. But listen, when you garden, you automatically know. Don't put your best stuff on. You're not going to get your best stuff from your outside rows. Can I get a witness? Right? You're going to get your best stuff from the middle. And their seeds, you still put them out there. But Jesus said, they're among the thorns. And this is interesting because apparently the soil's good because something's growing there. But Jesus said, it's the riches. It's the deceitfulness of wealth. It's the cares of this world. And they come and they choke it out. And if you read it when you get home, it says, and he becomes unfruitful. And that's what's amazing. That's what's amazing. And I would offer about us, and notice I'm about us. But most people in this room don't have fruit. And it's not because we're not in good soil. It's not because our heart's not able. It's we got too many things growing in the garden. Can I get a witness? And for most of us, I got all 10 of mine pointed at me, the things we're involved in is not bad things. It's just we're involved in everything. And that's why the Lord said that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And you see, when you understand, you could sit in church every Sunday and not be a part of the kingdom of God. You could come to every resurrection Sunday. I was trying to think. I couldn't decide, so I didn't really want to say it too strongly, but I feel fairly certain this is my 53rd Resurrection Sunday. I'm 98% confident of that. I can't remember which one it would have been that I would have missed, but, you know, 53 is not as long as for some, but, you know, fairly long time. And listen, we have to ask ourselves, not how many times have I been to a resurrection service, but when is the resurrection going to be a reality? When is my life going to be transformed by the resurrection? When am I going to become the person that the Lord God wants me to be so that I can do the thing that he wants me to do? Listen, when you become a part of the kingdom of God, do you know the whole world is opened up to you as a mission field? There are opportunities that you have in your life to do kingdom work that nobody else has. There are people in your life that if you would talk to them about the kingdom of God, about why Jesus came, about why Jesus lived, why he died, what he has made available to us, what you'll find out is every single person has a mission. But you know, I offer this to you and you can say, I don't believe that, I don't accept that, and that's fine with me. But far too many people know things about the kingdom of God, but they're not a part of the kingdom of God. And so what I thought we would do today, in the time that we have left, is we would go over some unlesses that Jesus said. And I want you to notice, I'm going to give you one, and then there's going to be four on the screen. But I want to give you the first unless. Jesus said to the most religious people that have ever lived, Matthew 5:20. He said to the most religious people that they would not come to church here with us. Y'all do know that. We would be so far beneath these people, and they would just look at us, and they would see our faults and our flaws, and they would see everything that's wrong with us, and they wouldn't even consider coming to church here. They wouldn't even call us Christians. And you know what Jesus said to them? He said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what does the word righteous mean? The word righteous has two meanings in the Bible. Sometimes it's used to describe God's standard. In other words, only righteous people will be in heaven. That's God's standard. But the other way that the word righteousness is used is it talks about the way that we act. And for most people, the number one thing, more than anything else, the fruit on the tree that proves beyond any doubt that a person is not a part of the kingdom of God is what happens when they get mad. Can I get a witness? Huh? I still remember one time somebody asked me about this person, and they were about to hire her, and she asked me. I wasn't familiar with the denomination the person was a part of, and she said, "Well, what do you know about them?" And I said, "It doesn't matter." I said, "Just make her mad." Because if you make her mad, you'll find out everything you want to know about her denomination right then. Huh? Can I get a witness? Huh? Listen. When we get mad, Jesus still comes out. Right? Right? And listen. If we were going to just do a straight up gospel invitation for every person in this room, you know right now whether you're a part of the kingdom of God or not. Because we know what we do when nobody's looking. We know how we act when we get mad. We know whether when we get mad if people die for cover or not because they know there's about to be an explosion. Right? 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 Listen, when you get to be a part of the kingdom of God, you know who you act like? Not a hard question. Jesus. That's who we act like. That's who we serve. That's who we model. That's who we act like. And listen, if you make it your goal in life to act like Jesus, you're just about to have a prayer life. You know what I'm saying? Because if we are going to represent Jesus, we better be prayed up. But if we know that our actions don't reflect the Lord, well, I'll just save that one for last. All right, let's look at the next one. The next one is, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, when you look at that verse that's on the screen, what's amazing about what Jesus said is when he used the word born again, he said, "Unless one is born again." That word born again means that there is something in heaven that has to get inside of us. In other words, we have to come to the place of realizing that we need to start over. We need to get back to that place of where God would have us to be. And Jesus said, "Unless one is born again." My question to you is, have you ever been born again? Have you ever had that time when you surrendered your life to the Lord and know that the life that you live now is the one that's pleasing to Him? In John 6:44, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day." And I offer to you that word that's used for draws, it means to entice. But he's not talking about enticing us to say a prayer. He's not talking about enticing us to be baptized. He's talking about enticing us to forsake our sins and come to Him. See, what we have to acknowledge is that it's our sins that separate us from God. It is our sins that keep us from being in the presence of the Lord. And you may be sitting there today and you may already be thinking, "Now wait a minute, don't make me feel bad. Don't put any pressure on me." And I'll read Luke 13:5. Jesus said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." What does the word repent mean? The word repent means to turn from our sin. The word repent means to be going one way, make a U-turn, and go back the other. And if I were to ask you today, "Are you a part of the kingdom of God?" Most people here, their first thought is to just blurt out the word yes. But what if I asked you this? When were you born again? What if I asked you this? When did you repent? When was that day you changed direction in your life? When was that day that you started acting like Jesus? And then this one may be my favorite. Matthew 18:3, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you that unless you're converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And that word that's used for converted means changed. Jesus said, "Unless you're changed." And folks, this is a totally different sermon and for a totally different day, but there is nothing wrong with the world that's not wrong with the church. And it's because we have brought the world in here. We're supposed to be changing the world, but the world has changed us. And listen, if I stood here today and said, if there's anybody in this room and you want to go to heaven when you die, man, if you'll just give me a finger and, you know, give me a finger and a nod, and man, we'll tell everybody you... That's not how it works. Jesus said, count the cost. Jesus said, think about it. Answer the question, do you want to pay the price? Do you want to bear your own cross? Do you want to live the life that's worthy of being called a Christian? And that's the question that we have to answer. And you might be saying, well, how do you do that? The great thing about it is we can't. That's the greatest news of the day. We can't. And so then if we can't, then what do we do? Last verse. The last verse says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, when you look at that passage there, you look at that verse, the Bible makes it very simple. The way that we know that we're saved is we receive the Holy Spirit. And if you remember on that screen prior, it said that we're sealed with that. We're sealed with it. And that word sealed means to be inspected by and approved. Does anybody in here ever had to have a building plan and it has to have, the engineer has to put their little on it? And if you don't have that seal, when you go down to get a permit, they're like, where's the seal? Right? Where's the mark of the professional? And when we get saved, the seal is placed on our heart. And the seal is the Holy Spirit. It means we've been inspected. That means we've been approved. And that means when it counts, when we stand before the Lord, we'll hear the words, that one's mine. When the sheep are separated from the goats, we'll be counted as a sheep because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, this is the invitation. How do you know you've received the Holy Spirit? Right? It's very easy. When Jesus was talking about sending the Comforter, he gave three basic ways that every person will know when the Holy Spirit has come. The first one is, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. Listen, if you want to know if you're a part of the kingdom of God, one easy question. What do you do when you sin? Do you double up? Do you double down? Or does it break your heart into a billion pieces? What do you do? Because when we've received the Holy Spirit, listen, the thought of living in a way that doesn't bring honor to God is not acceptable. Amen? Amen. And the second thing is, he's going to convict us of righteousness. And we touched on that with Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. But listen, if you can continually and repeatedly live and act in ways that does not reflect God, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. Right? And then the third one is of judgment. Do you realize every person in this room is going to stand before God in one of two places? We're going to stand before God at what's called the judgment seat of Christ. That's like when they do the Olympics, when they stand before the judge to receive their reward. It has nothing to do with salvation. If you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, you've already been saved. This is when you're going to give an account for your life. And one of the things I think that we, the church, need to be reminded of, the Bible says that we're going to give an account for every deed done in the body, whether good or bad. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me want to do right. Right? I mean, you live your life long enough, and it's like, I really don't want to stand before God having just done that. So I think I'll just skip that. Right? Right? Listen, we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account of every deed done in the body. The last one I want to mention, there's four, but this is the last one that I'm going to mention today. Do you know that the Bible talks about in the book of Romans that every one of us will stand before the Lord and we'll give an account of our lives, whether it was a stepping stone or a stumbling block? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Like, when I look back at my life, I can honestly stand here and say, if I could get some days over, I would do them differently. Right? And it's not just because of the sins that I committed, but I know there's been times in my life when I've influenced other people to do things that neither one of us should have done. And we need to realize that we're going to give an account of that. We're going to give an account. And listen, if we're kingdom people and we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by Him, we're obligated to live a life that's worthy of Him. Well, the second other place that people will stand is a great white throne judgment. And at that moment, man, the books are going to be open, and man, I mean, it's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. And all the people are going to have their sentence basically read to them. And their crime is they rejected Jesus. They rejected the Lord. They rejected His offer, His free gift of salvation. And this is the one thing that I know that there are many people in this room want to hear, anybody in here that's not saved. Listen, when we stand there on that day, I've already confessed, I know if I could get some days back, I know I would do them differently. But listen, when we stand before the Lord, I want you to hear Grace Baptist Church say to you, please, whatever you do, get your heart right with the Lord. And then live like it every single day. Every day. The easiest thing in the world to do is to put off to tomorrow what we know we should do today. I was asked this question one time, and I've never forgotten it. What do you wish, what in 100 years from now will you wish you had done today? That's a good question. I want to tell you, 100 years from now, there's nobody in this room except for maybe some of the very youngest babies that won't be wishing they'd have made the right decision today. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before you, Lord, God, I pray that our hearts will be quickened, Lord, about what it means to live in your kingdom. And God, we do acknowledge that you lived a sinless life and died on a cross so that we could be forgiven. But God, that's not all of it. What about today? What about tomorrow? What about the opportunities that you put in front of us? So God, I pray that as we go into this invitation, God, I pray that your will be done. God, if you're drawing men and women, boys and girls today, I pray that they would be saved. God, if there's people who are saved, but Lord, their heart is breaking over their sin, then God, today I pray that they would deal with those. And Lord, I'm sure there are many people in this room today that their heart is right with you. And God, I want to thank you for those people as well. But God, I pray, Lord, that they would spend this time just praying for those around them. Lord, we love you and we just praise your name endlessly that you're greater than our sin. Lord, we love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. At this time, we're going to go into our invitation and we'll let the last sentence of that prayer be the last word. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God is greater than our sins. And he proved it by conquering death, hell, and the grave.